This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
At Progressive, we know there's nothing like the feeling of riding your motorcycle with your buddies on the open road. It's a potent cocktail of thrills, laughter, and pure adrenaline. A feeling that would be impossible to recreate on the radio. Until now. Hit it, sound effects guy!
I'm real proud of you, son.
Wow, that was terrible. Our apologies for even trying. Quote with Progressive and see if you could save with America's number one motorcycle insurer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Good evening and welcome. We're going to be trialling this. It's myself, Mickey, and Omar, who are your co-hosts. So good evening to those of you who are listening already. We're going to have a discussion tonight about 3 points on a win for us against Birmingham. Let's welcome on board then Omar. How you doing, Omar? You all right?
Hello, fella. You good? Yeah. Better for the win, mate.
No, it's a good win. So those of you who are requesting to join, give us a minute. Let's just start to get our head around it, and then we'll bring you in a couple of minutes. So if you do want to request to say something, then you're more than welcome in. Obviously, don't slander anyone and whatnot, but the more people who can get involved, then the better it is, because obviously we're trying to get an interaction with the fan base and get some honest reactions and views. So, yeah, it's a trial for us, eh, Omar? A different angle for us.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, just something different. Just, you know, gave some reaction after the game today, isn't it? It's good to talk about it and obviously get everyone's opinion on it. But, yeah, buzzing, mate, from today's win.
No, that's it. It was a superb. For us to score 3 goals in one game is quite, especially for this season. So, yeah, well, we have got someone who wants to come in. Shall we bring them in and see what they've got to say, Omar?
Yeah, go on, go for it, mate.
All right, no worries. Let's figure out how we do. Okay, so New Cross Boys 64, John Loveridge. I think you're allowed to speak, mate. Give us a sec. You're connecting. Welcome to that Millwall podcast space. What are you going to say? You need to press. You're on mute. You've got the mic button, bottom left-hand corner. Yeah.
I think if it comes up on their side, I don't know. A lot of people are trying to do these spaces, don't they? So.
No, that's it. There you go. Hello, mate. How you doing?
Not bad, Chef.
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad at all. What's your thoughts on today's game then, mate? 3 points at home.
Do you know what? I blinking missed it. My son plays semi-pro and I went and watched him today. I'm going Peterborough next week, though.
Yeah,
I missed it, but good win.
Yeah, it was a good win. I mean, Omar, you were there, fella. I was unfortunately playing Santa for my boy's school fate, so I caught it on stream. But yeah, it was a good game, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, you don't quite know what to expect. But I think I just done a tweet earlier when I got indoors just now. But, you know, just kind of looking on the face of it, the home form recently has really took a good upturn. And I don't know if that's to do with, you know, the change of formation. But obviously, like, you know, the atmosphere as well is a key factor in that. And, you know, the three goals today, two set pieces, obviously, you know, Bradshaw's goal in particular sticks in the memory of the second goal. But the first one was just well worked as well. But it's kind of a good vibe around the place at the minute. And I know, like, I think the key is obviously to get a bit of consistency. But, you know, I think we need to follow up now the next couple of games. You think Peterborough away, you know, obviously John said he'd go into that game and be a tough one. But if we win that and then we've got Preston at home afterwards, you don't know where you could be by Christmas time. So it's quite exciting. I mean, John, what are you hoping for next Saturday with the Peterborough game? It's going to be a tough one, but hopefully...
It is going to be a tough one. I've never seen us win at Peterborough either.
No, I was talking to someone about the other day.
Third time lucky, I'm hoping.
I think we've been there twice, from my memory anyway. I think one year we lost 5-2, 5-3, first year in League One. And the second time, I think it was 4-0 down at half-time, Morrison going off, cutting off the fans.
That was an echo, Mark.
Yeah. Sticks in the memory. But no, it should be interesting. I mean, Mickey, you got anything to add on for Peterborough next Saturday?
I think Peterborough's going to be a lovely away day, mate. As always, it's I think it's going to be our Christmas party away day for the podcast. So, yeah, no, it'll be good. If anyone wants to get involved and obviously got some views from today's game, then just request straight to us and we'll get you straight on and hear your views. So, so yeah, John, how long you been supporting Millwall then?
Oh, mate, I'm 57, 52 years, mate. Oh. First game, I was 5 years old when I went to the first game.
So what's your first game then?
I can't even remember. I couldn't even tell you. Do you know, when I was a little kid, I used to think to myself, it was the same team each week we were playing, they just played in a different kit. Honestly, that's what I remember. Probably went until I was about seven, I was really getting into it. But, yeah, been some years.
Yeah, yeah.
Been some ups, been some downs.
No, it's been good, but...
That's us all over.
No, that's it. That's it.
Makes me laugh when I read all these things now, like, and people think, oh, we ain't doing this. And I think, come on, mate, you wouldn't be there 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's just been the same.
No.
But it is what it is, isn't it? I think, you know, next week I think we'll do all right, because Bradshaw, mate, he's hitting some form at the moment.
I think the pair of them, Mofobi and Bradshaw up front together, seem to be a real handful and all. So
yeah,
it's exciting. Yeah. I mean, it's good to have a little partnership up top. I think any successful Mill team that I think of in my recent time, obviously I'm a bit younger than yourself, but, you know, I think you've got, you know, Harris and Moody, you know, you think of Morrison, Gregory, Harris and Morrison, and then you're thinking, you know, potentially I could see this kind of, you know, forming a good partnership between the two because they're both really hungry and want to graft for it, it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. And they're a right handful. You know, you wouldn't want to defend against them, would you?
No, definitely. Go on, Mickey.
No, I just think it's true. At the moment, I think anyone's been at the moment, especially where we seem to be coming on form, you know, we were going into this game looking a bit on the downside because obviously Ballard and Leonard look as if they're out long-term injured. And we were sort of shitting ourselves walking into this. But to be fair, I think we handled ourselves well today. To score three goals in a game, probably better to win. I think we've done all right.
What about that on injuries, though? Like, why is that still happening? You think both of them out for 3 months. What are they doing at that training ground, Mickey? Honestly,
I've got no idea. We're starting to get quite a few of you listening in now. If you've got a view on the injuries, today's result, press that request button and we'll get you live so you can have a chat. It's quite easy, it's not that scary. There's only a few of us on here, and hopefully we get some more joining. Also, let us know what you think of this. So this is a trial for us. It's just an add-on to our podcast, what we're doing, obviously, the stuff we do on a YouTube channel. So, let us know your views. And again, just press request if you've got something to say.
Yeah, I think on the injuries, anyway, Mickey, I think, you know, obviously the centre-half's being injured. You know, I think it was interesting. Obviously, Ballard's been ever present, but it felt like a Neil Harris kind of side today a little bit. The 4-4-2 in the first half, especially. You're thinking, you know, Cooper and Hutch back at the heart of the defence. And obviously, Matt Lamara playing right back, Murray Wallace left back. And then it's kind of a bit more functional. Obviously, I'm not against the 5-2-3 he plays, but I think, especially at home, I mean, I know you think the same as me normally, Mickey, but 4-4-2 at home, it hits differently with our fans, I feel like. And you can see it amongst the fans, like, everyone was kind of excited on the front foot. And yeah, we got two fortuitous, you could say, set-piece goals. But we just look so much better with especially two up front and a back four at home. I don't know what you think, mate.
We look comfortable playing 4-4-2 because it gets the crowd on side. And once the crowd gets on side and, you know, that 12th man, that vocal stadium of our fans, we can achieve anything we want. And that's, I think that's the difference, that when we come out playing, you know, coming out with the five at the back, it just puts everyone on, oh, here we go again, same shit. We're not going to go for the win. But when we're playing 4-4-2, the players look more up for it. The fans are more up for it. And we just seem to, I don't know, just seems to be a completely different feel to the club, feel to the team and feel to the game. And today was a prime example of that, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone wants to come in, like Mickey said there, be sure to request anyone come in and say their piece. What about George Evans getting on the score sheet today, mate?
How many people have been slagging him off the last week? And to be fair, we won three with Evans and Pearson as well. So, yeah.
Well, I don't think we'll give Pearce any credit for today, but I suppose he kept a clean sheet in the 5 minutes on the pitch. But I think it was interesting with the Evans decision. I think, you know, last week, Saville, he's been the present kind of figure in the side, obviously, this season. But I feel like he struggled on occasion. He plays a slightly different role than he did, obviously, under Harris. But I think with Evans in there, I thought today anyway, it was kind of that dimension was looking for, the constant ball over the top, looking for Phoebe or Bradshaw. And I think it suited having Evans in there to kind of try and play them first-time balls in midfield.
Yes.
And obviously, he took his third goal superbly. I think, you know, the left-foot finish, and he made it look easy. But, you know, I think a few players in there that would probably sky it if it was falling to anyone else on the pitch. So, fair play to him there.
No, I totally agree with you. I think it was... I think it just gelled today, didn't it? It just looked as if everything worked out. And also the fact that Lebo was fucking highly upset with a lot of it just adds to it, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think the atmosphere was great. I think it was, even I think Deeney was getting a fair bit of stick. He took his goal quite well for Birmingham on the other hand. But I think it was a great atmosphere by, you know, both sides of the fans, really. I think obviously the 6th minute was quite, you know, a touching moment there, obviously, for young Arthur. Putting the ball out of play, and I don't know if you caught it, Mickey, on iFollow when he was watching, but you know, I think the whole crowd coming together for that moment, and obviously the players kicking the ball out, it was a real poignant moment for Millwall.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was they just looked up for it.
Mm.
It just, you know, all the way through it, even to the end, they seemed to be running their arse off right until, you know, the 90th minute. They just seemed to be, I don't know, playing as a team for once. Do you know what I mean? And when we do it with the five at the back, they just don't seem to be, I don't know, they don't seem to play like they want it. Do you know what I mean? They just don't seem to be enjoying playing football. But when we go more attacking style, we seem to like. I mean, what's your views on the setup, John?
Is he still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I was just outside. No, 4-4-2 suits us. It always has done. You know, but as soon as we start changing things and swapping things, it just seems to me the players don't know what they're doing. Yes, they're sitting back. But look, 4-4-2, and look what happens. The crowd get involved.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's a different but yeah. Let's see if I might take over a little bit. I'm gonna see if I can get some more people involved as well. So you have a chat and I'll mute myself while I do a couple of bits in the background, fella.
All right, pal. Yeah, no worries. If anyone's listening, obviously wants to get involved, just obviously say your piece and come on, by all means do so. But yeah, obviously, as Mickey was saying, obviously just new thing we're trying, bit of interaction on a Saturday night. I mean, not often we're indoors on a Saturday, but there you go. But obviously, you know, John, we'll look forward to Saturday's game again for Peterborough. But it should be, you know, we're not far off the playoffs at the moment, 3 points off. I mean, are you happy where we are on the table at the moment? Or are you hoping for a bit more? Or, I mean, a mill is kind of a catch-22 scenario sometimes where you think you want for more, you hope for more, but you've got to be careful what could be on the other end of that kind of sword, really, when we're talking about maybe changing the manager or, you know, doing something different. But what's your kind of hopes, obviously, for the rest of the season?
Well, I'm hoping we can make the playoffs now. I really am. We go through all these spells, but you look back 2 months ago and you would never have thought we'd be where we are now. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just hoping if, you know, the pair up top, they eat it off, we could definitely make the playoffs.
I agree with you completely. I think just got to have a bit of hype. It's great to kind of go into these games at the Den as well, isn't it? Kind of, you know, looking to obviously take the game forward and kind of, you know, try and grab by the scruff of the neck. I think I was looking through our games and, you know, we've only not scored once at home this season. It's obviously a fortress, isn't it, the Den, when it's on our side, John?
Yeah, always has been. Always has been. And, you know, that's a big thing for our players. And, you know, when they're, you know, when they're playing their 4-4-2 and we're attacking, the crowd's on it, you can see it in the players. Mm-hmm. You can see it. You can see how much it lifts them.
Definitely. And I mean, Mickey, we were talking about it, weren't we, not long ago, about, you know, the kind of the Den factor, especially when you're on the pitch.
Yeah. No, totally. I totally agree with you. I think the 12th man really has a massive effect, especially at the Den, because it is so loud. We've both been pitch side and it is so loud. We got another request from someone else to join in, fella.
Go for it. Go on, you there. I don't know how to bring him in.
I will bring you in. East Block, welcome to the space, fella. What you got to say?
I think it's connecting. It probably takes a few seconds, right?
You need to press your mute button, mate, because at the moment you're on mute. There you go. Welcome, fella. What you got to say?
Yeah, no, I just wondered, for a while, obviously, we were talking about getting in extra strikers because the one up top that we had weren't working. But if we're changing to that 4-4-2, or if Rowett's going to allow that 4-4-2 to happen, then do we really need an extra striker if we're going to start playing it into feet and playing the way that Afobe and Bradshaw want?
Yeah, interesting one, that.
Yes, exactly. And I'm sure TT, who's just joined, will probably have an opinion on that. I mean, do we still need to find a striker, possibly sign a striker in January, or are the strikers and the people we've got now possibly looking to gel and maybe enough to take us forward?
I think we're a bit short, I think, Mickey. I think, you know, if you think about it, you've obviously got Matt Smith on the bench. Bennett obviously offers that option. Obviously, he's a bit of a wide player slash forward, but I think we do need one more player in. I think it'll depend on who we move on in January window. That's an interesting talking point in itself. Like, I imagine Thompson's going to go. I imagine Bodvarsson will go. Whether anyone will take him up or we pay him off, I'm not quite sure. But then you think, like, if that's the case, maybe Mahoney might go. I think we do need maybe another wide player, just to add something slightly different. As much as Scott Malone's a grafter, and he does well down that left-hand side, you know, him playing kind of the left winger in the side, I think we probably need an out-and-out winger there instead. I don't know what you reckon. Sorry, I didn't catch your name, East Block.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it depends on the way that that Rowett chooses to set up in terms of his 4-4-2. I don't know who he's going to want to play out on the left and right. And also, if we're not playing people like Matt Smith, then he's not really going to want the balls coming in from out wide. So people like Mahoney might move on.
Anyone that springs to mind, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit for your championship knowledge, but anyone out there that, if you was to kind of, you know, kind of pinpoint a song we could go for in January, is there anyone that crosses your mind?
No, just
a quick win.
I was just wondering what sort of that if we do choose to, or if Gary Rowett does choose to go with a more traditional sort of 4-4-2, then would we need anybody? Because the thing is, we've got people, we've been sticking them up top by themselves and then moaning they're not getting anything. And now if we're going to give them support with an extra striker and play into feet the way they want, then I think it just changes what we're going to see from people.
Definitely. I mean, do you think he has changed, obviously, in the last few games? I mean, Mickey, we say this all the time. Do you think it's here to stay now, the way we're setting up at the moment? Or what do you reckon, mate?
I mean, I don't know. He seems to be more relaxed with Andy, and he seems to have listened to possibly what fans have been saying about it, but it seems to be working. Whether or not that was his plan from a hold of trying to get it to work, but it seems now as if the players feel comfortable and everything else. Come on, TT, press your request button. You always have an opinion. Here we go.
Bit of peer pressure.
No, that's it. Come on in, TT. What's your opinion on the conversation so far, fella? Unmute yourself, fella. There we go. Come on in.
Am I on?
You're live. You're live to the nation, TT.
I am live. Do you know what? Forget about this. I've heard a little bit of negativity on this. How can we be negative? That's the best performance of the season all day long.
Oh, 100%. We've not been negative.
We got Benny Kofobe and Tom Bradshaw looking like prime Steve Morrison and Lee Gregory up front. Absolutely superb from them two. You got Billy Mitchell running the midfield against Birmingham. You got a defence, Jake Cooper and Sean Hutchinson at the back. looking like they could deal with anything all day long. Danny McNamara up the right wing. Even George Evans smashing a left-footed, like, goal into the top left-hand corner. It should be nothing but, absolutely, do you know what? We smashed it today. We can talk about the future. We can talk about who we need and who what we want. But let's just fucking gloat and revel in the fact that Millwall delivered today.
I mean, fuck me, we ain't scored three goals in a game for fucking this season, I don't think. So, yeah, absolutely. We've got to revel in the fact that we won, and we won three goals rather than...
Yeah, but I've come on this, and I'm coming on this, and I'm hearing a little bit of negativity, and let's see what we can do and see what... Fuck that. Like, today's a good day. Today's a fucking great day. Let's just, like, celebrate the fact that Millwall done what Millwall do well. We done the Poppy Appeal really well. We had servicemen, a couple of home games ago. Today, we stand, we celebrate a little kid that needs to be remembered with Birmingham fans. We do that well. This is what this club does. Every single time we get the opportunity to show what our club's about, we do that. And then the players on the pitch fought their bollocks off, absolutely dominated Birmingham from start to finish. Win the game comfortably. Other than maybe last 15 minutes, you're thinking we could have probably put four or five past a woeful Birmingham team. There's no getting around it. Yeah. But we've done everything. You know, today's the day where you walk away from Millwall going, that's my fucking football club.
100%.
100%. I totally agree. But listen, if you're listening to this and you've got an opinion, there's a couple of you on there who I know who definitely are very outspoken. Dolby, you know who you are. If you are interested in getting involved, then just press that request button, and it's as simple as that. Press that, we'll get you on air, and you can share your views. And if you disagree with any of us, then just let us know. But no, I totally agree with you, TT. I think it's an absolute day to sit there and go, it was a great day at the office. We had a great win, and it's on the back of a few good days. I mean, the 6th minute tribute, the young lad in Birmingham who sadly, got murdered. And that was a nice touch as well. And our clubs always lead to front. It's just unfortunate that most of the time they never get recognised for it. But, the win today, everything else was fantastic.
We don't need the public recognition.
Mickey, the reason it never gets recognised is because it's Millwall. Yeah, and so we've got to realise that no one likes us and we don't fucking care.
Let's have it this way. This is what I'm saying. I agree with you, TT. We don't need the recognition from the outside, though, do we? I never want that recognition from the outside, Mickey. I think for us, we know what we get our own house in order, and that's all that we care about.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dale, are you coming on or what? Are you coming on? If so, press that request button. Come on, you must have an opinion. There's a few of you on there now. Char, I haven't spoken to you in ages, fella. You've probably got an opinion as well. Remember, it's easy to do. You just press that request button and we will get you live and you can share your opinion. If you're listening to this, remember to press retweet. We're trying to get as many bots on here as we can. This is a trial for us. And if you seem to like it, then we'll look at doing it more regular. It's a great way that we get interactive with the fans, and we can get, your reactions, your views, your thoughts. It's something what we've looked at for doing. And then obviously Twitter has made up spaces. So if you're enjoying it, letting us know. I've got no idea how you can do that, whether or not likes or emojis. I see lots of you are finding the emoji buttons and stuff. So yeah, all good. But yeah, Omar, go on in. I'm going to play around again and back.
TT, mate, you said about the front two up top. How good were they today, mate? They were class, weren't they?
The thing with, like I said, it reminded me very much of the Morrison Gregory in terms of pressing, getting in the right areas, getting the ball on the pitch. Yeah, to be fair, Bennett made wrong decisions a couple of times. There was one in the second half where he literally played it across the box and, there was nobody there. But he's working, and so we can tolerate it. You can make bad decisions, but as long as you're getting yourself in the right position, you're trying, you're doing the right thing, Bennett, putting his head in a dangerous situation in the first half. I felt like they looked like a proper front two today, Bradshaw and Anafobe. And it's something that we need. At the Den, I think that we really do need a front two that that can do that. They can work hard. And that's why Smith is definitely on the bench, can come on and potentially change your game. But you need two forwards up front that are going to work their nuts off. Ultimately, you're a striker. You want to put the ball in the back of the net. And that's what Bradshaw's done. That he's got himself in at the near post on the 40th minute, scores a goal, everyone's a winner from there.
Definitely. I think you're on a hide into nothing being a middle striker, though. I think the one time I saw Fobi not closed down today in the Cobble Lane end, he was getting stick off some of the fans. You're thinking, cool, like, it's a hide into nothing at Millwall, and that's the best of times. I think it is interesting when obviously you say that about the front too. I couldn't agree more, mate. I think it is just something I think we identify a bit more better, I think, in that sense, where, you know, two grafting forwards, but I don't know. How do we go from here? That's the next question. What are you looking forward to next Saturday, mate?
We can talk about the forwards all day long, but the best player on the pitch by a long, long way was Billy Mitchell.
Yeah.
Billy Mitchell today, absolutely. You know, Birmingham City today, you know, Birmingham City are a club that should be slightly bigger than us. However, most of the time, you know, we look at it, comparatively, we can have similar players. Today, we showed that, like I said, we were better up front, we were better in defence, and we were better in midfield. But their midfield today looked absolutely terrible because George Evans stepped up, to be fair, for the first time this season, I would say that he really did do well. But he had Billy Mitchell alongside him, who done everything. He was back, he was forward, he absolutely controlled the game. It was a coming-of-age performance from Billy Mitchell today. And we can talk about he's one of our own and all that bollocks, because it is bollocks, because it doesn't mean nothing unless you deliver. Ben Thompson's come and gone a little bit, but Billy Mitchell today absolutely ruined that game for Birmingham. They just couldn't get near him, and that's something that we can look forward to for the future.
Definitely, mate. I think even I like the way he gets on the ball and he looks up and looks at the pass. I know it sounds stupid, but it's kind of a quality that, you know, makes it look so easy as well. But even I enjoyed the second half bit where I think he had a spat with one of the fellow youngsters on the other side and near the Cobble Lane end on the right-hand side. And I think Bradshaw had to hold him back there. But he's got a little bite to him as well, hasn't he, TT? Just kind of, you know, he really cares about it, I think, as well.
Well, to be fair, he's an intelligent fella. You know, he's not an idiot. He knows what he's doing on the football pitch. And he was fouled. He was fouled in the corner. He should have got a foul. Yeah. He didn't get the foul. That geezer, the Birmingham defender, tried to large you with him, so he's not going to have it. You know, that silly things like that, that don't make a difference in the game. And it was close at that time. Players know that if you have a little bit of a ruckus with somebody, that you're going to bring the fans into play. And, you know, we love that. At Millwall, we want to see the players fighting for the shirt. We want to see the players having a go. And that gets us right into it. So that's more important than whatever's going on the pitch.
No, bang on. I think, what do you make on the situation with Ballard being injured, mate? I think, you know, I don't know if you heard it at the start, I was saying, like, it's actually a weird one where we're back to Hutchison and Cooper at the back, the ever-dependable pairing. And I think, in a weird way, like, obviously we're kind of blessed with decent centre-halves there, but the pair of them just seem to kind of hit off again like they used to in the past.
You can never be blessed by an injury to a good player, and Ballard is an absolute quality player. But yes, Hutchinson, Cooper, they've got that partnership that they've had for a long time. Add to that, and I've not heard his name mentioned, but he needs to get a lot of fucking credit. Murray Wallace, an absolute... You can play him anywhere across the back line, left back, right back, centre back. Put him in central defence in midfield. This geezer does a job no matter where it is. So you add him to that Sean Hutchinson and Jake Cooper partnership and you've got good quality players. Daniel Ballard is going to be a very, very good player and probably will play at a better level than what we are at currently. But it's never a blessing in disguise. It would be better if he was on the pitch. He's made mistakes, but he's young. But yeah, I'd much rather him play in the team than be injured. But it's fantastic that we've got Cooper and Hutchinson to come in, step up, and do what they do.
I think the blessing in disguise from it, TT, is he might actually have a price tag that might be affordable if he's not playing for 3 or 4 months. You know, maybe come next summer. Can we not rule that one out?
No chance. Absolutely no chance what we'd be able to afford him.
Let me be positive, mate. Come on. You never know.
Listen, there's being positive and there's being delusional. Like, absolutely. We've fallen in love with loan players many times. This is another time where we will not get Daniel Ballard. It's just the absolute no chance. So, I like your positive thinking, Omar, but leave it there.
Well, when he signs for us next season on loan in the Premier League, I think, there you go. That'll do. Go on, Mickey.
Bill, if you want to join in, press request and we'll get you on board for your points of view. If any of you have got, you want to air your views, you want to you add to the discussion, then please just do. We've got another one from East Block. Go on in, fella. You all should be connected. Go on in, fella. Unmute yourself. Off you go.
I thought he was connected before. What happened there?
Yeah, no, just quickly as well, my son and I was talking about after the game about Jed Wallace and his role today. And to be honest, for the first time in quite a while, I felt like we didn't depend on him today. And whether he's in the team or not in the team today, I think we still probably would have done the job today anyway. I don't think we depended on him today. I don't think he carried us.
That's refreshing, that one, for me, because I think even the Stoke game sticks in the memory where I think we had Shay Ojo involved with one of the goals, and then the same with, I think he wasn't involved in the second goal either, Jed. But I agree with you there. Like, you know, Mickey, you know, we talk about Jed all the time, don't we? But it's nice to kind of have other players to kind of step up to the mantelpiece, so to speak.
No, 100%. But yeah, I do agree with East Block there. I think it was the first time where it didn't look as if we were banking all our hopes on Jed today.
No, for sure.
So, yeah, go on, Omar. I'm just doing it.
No worries. Yeah, I mean, TT, you're still there, yeah? What do you make of Jed's performance today? I think it was, do you agree with East Block there, where it's, you know, doesn't...
New message.
What up? It's Heather's cousin. You dated her in college, or maybe you were just in the same class. Anyway, I heard you bought a boat, my man. Let's hit the water. Oh, and Heather told me you always liked snacks and stuff, so I could totally bring some chips.
When you get a boat, you also get new friends. Make sure Progressive's one of them, and get coverage today for as little as $100 a year.
Hey, also, I'm a little short on cash, so can you cover the chips? Thanks. I can see why Heather liked you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
On August 25th,
I'm the most brutal, vicious, ruthless champion that ever been.
The most anticipated original series is here. You may know Tyson.
You're the heavyweight champion of the world, young, rich, and black.
But do you know Mike?
The minute you get too big, they gotta cut you down.
Starring Trevante Rhodes.
I am Mike.
And Harvey Keitel.
They'll love you as much as they fear you.
Now I'm really going to have some fun.
Mike, series premiere August 25th, only on Hulu.
Need to have that much of an involvement, but even still, I think his quality is still there to be seen.
Jed Wallace is the best football player we've got at the club. End of story. And he's got the... You know, it doesn't always work for Jed. And so when people look at him and think... I think there's a fella that's got a Jed Wallace, you know, wank page where he posts every now and again of how brilliant Jed Wallace is. And you look at it, you're thinking, he does things that no other player does and has no other players done for a long time wearing a middle shirt. He didn't need to do it today. He done little bits, gets the ball, tries things. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. If he doesn't work, he looks like an idiot. If it does work, he looks like a genius. But what I love about him is that he keeps trying it. He puts his head down. He works. He's running all over the pitch. And we are a better team. And I genuinely think this. If we don't have Jed Wallace in our side, we look... You know, I like the point that was made that today was a day where maybe if we didn't have Jed Wallace in the team, we still look as good. But 95% of the time, we need that spark that Jed provides, and without him, we really are a less of a team without Jed Wallace in the team.
I think though I agree with everything you're saying. He is the most talented player we've had in a very, very long time. I think the problem is that the reality is that he might not sign a new contract, and that's a worry, because if he goes and it is someone that carries us, then I don't want us to be done for. And so I'm happy that today we've done it without him being that spark, because it gives me a bit more comfort that if or when he does go, that we're not going to be, you know,
League One the season after.
No, look, I understand. We've got another request. Let's get Dogs in. He's definitely got an opinion. He always has an opinion, mate. Go on in, Dog. Go on in, Lee. Press your mute button, mate. Get, there we go. Look. Yeah, not too bad, Freddie. You're live in the chat. What you got to say?
Do you know what? I never thought I'd say this, but did I see a little bit of Gary Rowett's sexy football out there today? Honestly, I can't tell you. It's got to be the first time in a long time I've enjoyed a home game down the Den. Because, listen, you know me, and you've seen some of my tweets. I've been critical of him. It has been boring, you know, and some of them, you know, draws we've been getting, we should be winning games. But, listen, credit to him and, you know, listening to us and going 4-4-2. It's made a massive difference. Made a massive difference. We've gone out and attacked the team and gone 1-0 up early doors today. And it's got the crowd behind. And yeah, everything went our way today. Just want to pick up a point that talked about Jeff Wallace as well. And I agree with TT, what you're saying. Excellent player, the best football player at the club. For me, do I think he's going? I do think he's going. And you know, I don't want to see it. I'd love to see him sign a new contract. But I don't think there's a club out there, a bigger club than us, that were willing to go out and spend a few million quid on him, because we say he's an excellent player, but he's just got that little something missing. He can win us games, but I think going to the next level, I think he's got that bit missing. But the unfortunate thing is he's got 6 months left on his deal, and people will take that gamble if he's on a free transfer. And I think that's where we're going to be.
You think he's a bit like Morrison, where he stepped up, but he just didn't have that final bit when you had to step up?
I think so, mate. He obviously didn't work out for him at Wolves, and I think he will go to a club at the end of the season. Albeit if it's a little bit, he's not a Premier League player, but he's a top end Premiership player. Could he go to a club bigger than us with our ambition of getting to the Premier League? Then maybe, but listen, he's not going to be a regular in those teams. I don't think. You know, people might disagree with me, but I think he's got a little tiny bit missing.
But you know what's the best thing to say about it, though, I think, is that he doesn't look like a player that's got 6 months left on his contract. Like, I think that's, like, credit to him in that sense, because he could easily sack it off. And, you know, you think of, like, Lyle Taylor at Charlton towards the end of the season, they went down. He's like, you know what, I'm not playing anymore.
Yeah, you can't, compare him to Lyle Taylor.
He could have easily kind of pushed out, you know, kind of gone, you know, I'm not going to turn up every week. You can see he wants to be here, but I think it's, you know, he ultimately has a bigger goal in his mind, which you can't knock, I suppose.
I think it's, look, he's too, you know, he's getting on in age. He's getting, you know, for the position he plays, he's getting on in age.
By the way, this is Mickey talking about someone getting on in age. Like,
you know what I mean? I
think what he wants is something to look after his family and look after his pension pot. And he wants that chance to prove himself. I mean, being a footballer, you want to play at the top of your league, you know, top of your field. And the top of the field for him is possibly in the Premiership, playing against some of the, you know, the big teams week in, week out, and have a nice pay packet. And you know what, on what he's given us over the years, I don't think we can hold that against him.
No, I don't think we can begrudge him on that. And I said the same thing about Morrison as well. You know, he left us, earned a good few quid at Norwich, earned a good few quid at Leeds. Didn't work out for him, come back. And then, obviously, after he's got a few quid in the bank and, you know, maybe, as you say, you know, stabilise his future financially with his family and that, then come back and enjoy his football. So it's up to Jeff. What does he want to do? Does he want to enjoy his football with us? Or, you know, as I said, is he going to go and you know, financially secure his family? Which, as I said, you can't begrudge him that.
On the situation of Jed, do you think if someone came in and offered a million for him in January, hypothetically, I don't know what his worth is, but do you think Mill's done the right thing here by, you know, saying kind of stick or bust, so to speak, where, you know, we're sticking by him here and we're not selling him. We're kind of hoping he takes us to where we want to be. Is that a gamble, do you think, Dolbs? Or what would you kind of make of that one?
I think it's a gamble you've got to take, Omar, because at the end of the day, we're how many times have we been this close? And, you know, 2002, the last time, I think we had a realistic chance of maybe, you know, getting there, you know. And I think if you're this close, I think you do have to take that risk. You have to gamble with it if you're going to lose him for nothing. You know, what's a million quid if you can go gate price then playoffs and everything like that?
Definitely. I mean, TT, I felt like he was going to come in a little while ago there. You got anything to add on the Wallace scenario? I don't know if he's there. TT.
Absolutely.
Go on, mate.
I just think with Jed is probably going to... I think everyone knows he's going to leave. And I think personally, it's the wrong decision for him because you play for Millwall and you're quite rightly looked at by most people. I think he gets no stick for a winger. He's at a club where we respect him and he's a big fish in a middle-sized pond. I'm not going to say a small pond, but he's a big fish. If he goes somewhere else, like Dolb said about, he went to Wolves, it didn't work out for him. But I think the club, we're the right club for him. And he should, genuinely, I think here, as long as we can pay him the money, because it might be about the money, because if someone can pay him flipping 30 grand a week, we can't pay that. If it's just about the money, then fair enough. If it's not about that, I don't see him going to another championship club and performing any better. And that, stay where the fans love you. If it's just about the money, then fair enough. If it's not, then stay with Mill.
I think it's if he moves, then I think it's going to be Premiership. It's going to be all about money. If it isn't a move or no one comes up, then I think he'll probably sign and finish his career in Millwall.
Who knows, mate? I mean, if you're listening here anyway and you've got something to add to the conversation, be sure to request a join. Dolbs, I mean, we spoke a little bit about the game beforehand. I think before you joined, mate, what did you make of, obviously, generally as the game today? It was, you know, great watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, as I say, I enjoyed it. You know, I much prefer that formation. You know, on the front foot, crowd get behind the players. The players thrive on it. Good atmosphere. For me, you know, I've heard, you know, a few people mention it, and I say it myself. I've been banging a Billy Mitchell drum for a long time now. I think he's absolutely superb in the middle of the park. You know, he's such an intelligent player at such a young age. You know, he's so comfortable on the ball. It's very difficult to win the ball off him. He don't panic. He's very composed, and he finds the right passes, and we keep the ball well with him. Danny McNamara, excellent today. I'm really pleased with Tom Bradshaw as well. You know, it's been a while since he's been to get on that goal trail. He hasn't really had a game time or run of games to do it, but you know, he seems to be getting that game time now, and he keeps scoring. And as you know, with any striker, you know, they need that confidence that comes with goals. So I'm pleased to see him getting the goals, and I think him and Afobe complement each other well. And it's good to see George Evans get a goal today. And besides his goal, I think he felt he had a good game. And again, I've been his biggest critic as well.
I think a lot of people Benny's critic, and I don't think it's Benny's fault, so to speak, either. I think he's at times it feels like he's been shoehorned into the side, but I think he seemed to be at home next to Mitchell today, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. I thought Billy Mitchell was superb. It's a shame about, you know, I'd like to see him and Lenny in there. You know, Ryan Leonard, I know he's out injured for a while now, but I think that them two, you know, with Mitchell, the way he holds the ball up well, and Lenny, the way he can drive us forward, you know, I'd love to see that. But I think it's a good thing today that Saville got dropped. You know, it's obviously, I was excited him coming back in the summer, but he just hasn't done it. You know, he's not come back that same player for whatever reason. But that midfield worked today for me.
Yeah, I think I said the same thing about Saville last weekend after Hull, and I think I had a couple of people mixed responses back to me. I think you can see what he offers, but I think he's not quite the same player in a sense. What I remember him from before was like winning cheap free kicks in the middle, kind of obviously scoring goals, but also like that kind of championship know-how. And I feel like at times we've not really seen that with him. Do you think it's maybe to do with the side or to do with how he fits in? Or is it maybe just his performances? Or how do you kind of pinpoint that one for yourself?
I actually preferred him as a centre-half. I'm not going to lie, but I don't think he's better than the centre-halves that we've got. And similar to the midfield, I suppose. But as I said, I've just not seen him do it. I don't know what it is, because I think you do see some certain moments in the game where it does look a decent player, but I think they're few and far between. Again, it might be the same thing. Does he need a bit of game time? Well, pardon me, Knicks, he had a fair few minutes, you know, early on in the season, but I suppose, you know, when we weren't really in form. So I think if this side's fit, I think this side needs to start against Peterborough next week. We need to find some bit of consistency there. And we've got to go there and win. It's not just a winnable game. We've got to go there and win.
I agree. I think we could find ourselves, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. That's classic Millwall fans. But, you know, we're probably a win or two, I mean, 3 points away from the playoffs, but could be potentially Christmas in the playoffs if things go our way, Dolls. TT, you're going to unmute yourself and tell me to stop getting ahead of myself, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Right, straight away. I'm going to tell you to stop being a dickhead. Yeah, don't. It's one win. Let me get however, excited. I would say, I would, yeah, no, I can hear you getting excited, but we're a long way off from getting properly excited. I would say about Saville is that he's playing in a Gary Rowett situation where he's a lot deeper than he would normally want to be. Remember, today we played 4-4-2. Evans and Billy Mitchell were further up the pitch than they normally would be. Mm-hmm. We've played so much with that 5-2, the two holding midfielders, and one of them has been Saville, and that's not his game. If we can get him further up the pitch, where that he naturally drifts into the box, Frank Lampard-esque, as you could say, with a Premiership, and he's nowhere near that kind of quality of player, but he can provide that kind of goals into the box, and he's done it a couple of times this season. If he's playing that 4-4-2 and he's allowed that attacking advantage, then he can provide it. So I don't think it's a little bit on him because he hasn't put himself about like he did do at that first term with us. But it's also the fact that Gary Rowett has not kind of given him a bit of more attacking free reign that he would need to really deliver.
I agree with you. I think, maybe it is a set-up centre thing. I mean, Mickey, did you want to try and get anyone else in? Is anyone else that you kind of got waiting to come on or...?
No, there's no one else at the minute, mate. We're waiting for some more people to do. I've sent some DMs out to some of the other groups out there and see what's what. But no, we can go along for a little bit longer, see where we go, maybe get it up to go to the 10 and then obviously get some feedback on how it's gone. Look, if you are listening, we can see loads of you in there. Michael, Charlie, Nightbrain, MSC Fan, Char, Scott, etc. We can see you all in there. If you've got an opinion and you want to get involved, then please do just press your request button. It's as easy as that, and we will get you on. We are learning as we go, so if there are any technical issues, do apologise. We do normally do a podcast across YouTube and across all podcast providers. So if this is your first time listening to us, then please do check us out. It's quite easy. At Millwall Pod across all social media. But no, look, I think we got a great win today. We need to get a win at Peterborough. I mean, what's your views on this playing five at the back and four at the back? I mean, obviously, we had a bit of a conversation with it before you joined, but I mean, what's your views on this?
Listen, I think if you play five at the back, I mean, there was one time a couple of weeks back where 4-4-2 didn't work, and I think you reverted back to the five across the back. And we seem to come to life. And I think we only come to life if you can play them fullbacks higher up the pitch. You've got three decent quality centre-halves there. I think even if you push Wallace inside with Hutch and Cooper, but definitely with Ballard in there, I think you've got three decent centre-halves. But if you can get your Danny McNamara and your Scott Malones further up the pitch, then I think you can. But I just felt we sat back too much, and that was a flat five for me. If you can today, for me, 4-4-2 works, and that's our preferred route at home. I think get on that front foot.
Do you also think that it gets the crowd on board? Right, and once that crowd gets on board, then players seem to look as if they're enjoying it, and they sort of play to the crowd.
It's key, mate. It's absolutely key to plan the front foot, get the crowd behind you. Another thing I was going to mention, just going back to Jeff Wallace a little bit today. Don't know whether you kind of realised it yourselves today, but it was like he was enjoying himself out there. For the last couple of weeks, I didn't see that from Jed. Listen, I'm never going to knock him. He always tries, he works hard, he'll run his socks off, but he didn't seem to be enjoying himself. Today, he looked like he was enjoying himself. And I think, again, key to keeping him, if we are to keep him, is, as I said, get that connection between the players and the supporters, get him enjoying it again, winning games, and you never know.
He looked as if he was slightly frustrated the last couple of games. He looked as if the team weren't necessarily playing on the same mindset what he was playing, and things what he was trying to do weren't necessarily working out. But I agree, today he definitely looked more relaxed in his play. He just looked much more left.
He was more hungry. He was chasing everything down, and you're right. I think it probably is frustration when he feels if he's, working his ass off and others might not be, hitting that standard. It must be frustrating for a player like that out there. But today, I don't know who said it, but it might have been TTI more earlier on, said we weren't too dependent on Jed alone today. Everyone stepped up, and I think he enjoyed that, and I think he thrived on it. He was chasing everything down. He looked hungry out there, and as I said, he looked like he's enjoying himself.
I mean, question for you, you three, TT, Dobson, obviously, East Block, and anyone else who wants to get in, just remember to just press that request button and we'll get you live to hear your opinion. Do you think Millwall was, you know, really good today, or do you just think that maybe Birmingham was shit?
Yeah, a bit of both there, Mick, I think, if I'm honest. I don't think they're the greatest championship side, and that's why I won't go, you know, get too excited. I think, listen, let's enjoy it. As you said, it's a long time since we scored three goals at home or in any game for that matter, but we'll enjoy it. But yeah, they weren't the best side. I said before, I tweeted before the game, that anything other than a big win today wasn't good enough. So we had to win, and I'm saying the same against Peterborough next week. It's not these one wins every now and then and follow it up with three or four draws ain't good enough. If you want to put Jed, if you want to really, you know, push on them players, which I don't see why we can't. We should be sitting here saying, oh, we're punching above our weight. Just give it a go. But I think you've got to win these type of games.
I think, irrespective of whether Birmingham were good or bad, we've come up against teams a lot of times where they haven't been good and we still haven't managed to get over the line. I'm just glad that we managed to get over the line today. So in that sense, you know, we've done the job we need to do.
No, I agree. I mean, TT, what's your views on that? No.
Well, Birmingham was shit. There's no getting around it. Their midfield's the worst midfield. They are genuinely the worst team that have been at the end of the season. End of story. So, we have to take it with a bit of a pinch of salt. However, the attitude, the desire from the players makes a difference. I think if you're going to go and press them, you're going to put them under pressure. We looked a team today that, look, quite rightly, should be, you know, we're eighth in the championship. We're not no fucking like fodder. You know, we're not Barnsley. We're a team that could potentially, we put a decent run together, we're in the playoffs. So that's how we should attack games.
Hang on, you just called Omar a dickhead for fucking thinking about...
No, I said, the reason I called Omar a dickhead is because he's like, I said, we should be looking to that, not that we are that. There's a big difference. So I said, we should be looking to attack teams because, especially at home, we've got the players to be able to take a game to a team like we did today. I genuinely believe every single game in the championship, you know, we could play Fulham, we beat Fulham, but then we could equally go away to Barnsley and lose to Barnsley. So it's the championship. You know, you've just got to apply yourself. You've got to go to every single game and try and win it.
I mean, this year, the championship is probably the weakest it's been in a good couple of years. And if there's anything really that we've got a chance today, is that, you know, this season is definitely that chance. You agree, Omar?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I think it's also about being competitive and just being in and around it, which I think, to be fair to Rowett, whilst, you know, we all criticise him, some people don't, obviously, but I think the one thing you've got to give him credit for is we are kind of a steady Eddie team in the sense that we're in and around it constantly. And I think you can't knock that since he's been in, you know, two top half finishes. And you are one run away. It's kind of a simple way of looking at it, but you are one good run away from reaching that kind of, you know, that playoffs. And I think I agree with what TT's saying. I don't expect us to be a top six side, don't get me wrong, but again, you know, you look around the teams around you, we're a team in and around it for a reason, I think, and we should be aiming for that. I agree with what you're saying there, to be honest.
No, totally, yeah, no. I think we can't take away three points today. We are, what, 2-3 points off playoff positions. If we can win the next two games, well, I think they're must-win games, then, yeah, it definitely opens up the season for us. And, you know, potentially it gives us that warm, glowy feeling inside us, doesn't it?
Well, I've got that warm, glowing feeling right now, mate. I'm not going to lie to you. And that's after one win. So, there you go. That's what it's like supporting a Millwall team, though, isn't it, mate? I think that's it. You can't. It's that feeling on a Saturday night after getting 3 points, you know, after playing well. It doesn't even need to be an away game. It could be a home game like that against Birmingham. Good atmosphere. Have a little sing-song. Enjoy the day. And, you know, you're excited for, what could come up next. And I think, you know, reality is we'll probably go to Peterborough and lose 5-0 on next Saturday because we always seem to concede five there. But I'm buzzing for it regardless, and hopefully it should be a good one for us.
No, look, I think it's definitely one of those. But I think we are starting to look a lot more interesting in the style we're playing rather than that boring level. I think, you know, what Dolph said a minute ago was about, you know, did he see some sexy football play today under Rowett? And I think that's a point, you know, that we are starting to see a bit more football slowly creeping in. We can doing that and work on that, and the players are enjoying it and the fans are enjoying it, then I think that combination of both will have a positive effect to potentially anything's possible.
I think also, I don't know if it's an interesting one here, but obviously we're all positive today, but it's another game about a clean sheet. I don't know, obviously we've had our injuries at the back. It's, you know, bad not being available today for the first time this season, but I just wonder if, you know, a few of them games where we can, I think we only kept four clean sheets this season. It's a bit uncharacteristic of us. And by laws of average, then you'd hope that, you know, last couple of seasons we've kept, I don't know, probably about 18, 19, 20 clean sheets. Maybe we will start to see that tighten up and all, and maybe be more positive in that sense where if we're keeping clean sheets and scoring goals like we are at the moment, you know, it's exciting and it's something to look forward to going into, you know, the Christmas period, really.
Yeah, possibly. It's only a couple of weeks now, and then obviously the Christmas period is well upon us. So, yeah, no, look, I think the next two games, especially Peterborough, as we said earlier on, we don't really get good results against them. If we can win now and win definitely the next two games, then I think, you know, I think anything's possible, to be fair.
I've got one question for you, Mickey, because you might know this from your time as fan on the board whilst we wrap up, right? They've done it today on the tannoy. Mr. Den is in the south stand, and then Mr. Den has left the building. Do you know where it is? And if so, are you allowed to tell us? Because what is Mr. Den? What does that mean?
Mr. Den is just a security code. It's just something that something's going on, and it's basically a quicker way of getting people to that area. And normally that's it. There are different, you have got different codes. So Mr. Den will change regularly, and you've got Mr. Brown and something else, what means different things. But normally it just means that something's gone on, or, you know, someone's been nicked and they need police, or they need security. Steward's got someone. It's just a way of getting people to the stadium. When they say Mr. Den has left the stadium, it just means that it's all dealt with. It's over. No one else can go running.
There you go. I've always wondered, and I'm sure, I hope I'm not the only one in this call that's wondered that before.
Yeah, I thought about it earlier as well.
I probably get shot now for saying that, but yeah, no, that's normal. You normally have different levels of codes within that sort of process, and then it just some way of getting people to it. If certain people aren't on radio, it's just an easier way of making sure people are aware.
Fair play. All right, mate, I think I've done my piece, to be honest. Go on, pal.
Let's
about the Mill Lions made a bit of an appearance in the family stand now.
Say that again?
The Millwall Lion, the big fluffy Millwall Lion.
Oh yeah, Zamba.
But you know the big one that used to be in the
Press room, yeah.
Yeah, the press room, yeah, it's over in the family stand now.
Oh, okay. I mean, one thing what I would like to say just before, we had Brian Woods at the game today. And you know, he's raised well over 100 grand for walking with wounded. In November, he done 55 marathons in 25 days, which by itself is no small feat. Pretty much destroyed his body, I think. But, you know, good luck to him. Congratulations. Millwall gave a signed shirt today as well. So he's done really well, and he's a top bloke. So hats off to him. If you're enjoying this, let us know on Twitter. And we will look at bringing this in on a regular occurrence. We try to aim to be as interactive as we can. And obviously with comments and views across our YouTube channel and our podcast channel, we get feedback and we take all your thoughts and opinions. We do ask people to send in voice messages or send us, you know, voice messages or video clips, stuff like that. If you want to get involved, it's fairly easy, but with this, what Twitter seems to do, we've been monitoring it now for a few weeks and seeing how it works and stuff like that. We're still learning our way around it. But if it's something that you enjoy, please do let us know on Twitter. Send us, you know, a DM or you know, send us something and tag us in and just tell us what your thoughts are of it. And again, we'll look at bringing this in on a regular basis. It's just good to create as much interaction and different views. It's okay, me and Omar, and sometimes, you know, with Kai as well, having our opinions. But sometimes it's great to get people like Dobbs and TT and East Block and some others, John, who was in earlier on, just to get other people's views and opinions. And sometimes, hopefully, they completely disagree with what we say. So, yeah, I think I'm pretty much done, Omar. You got anything else to say?
Getting that more.
Dobbs, you got any final words before we kick you out?
No, I thought I was going to regret getting the Peterborough tickets, but after today, mate, I'm looking forward to that next week.
Yeah, it should be great.
A good day. East Block, thanks very much for joining in, fella.
Carry lines.
No worries. Again, if you like this, let us know, and hopefully we'll see you after the win against Peterborough. Thanks for joining us. If you want to get involved more, just search that Millwall podcast across YouTube or across your podcast provider. You can see the stuff we do, and hopefully you become regulars with us. And that's it from me and Omar. We will see you again very shortly, either on here or with one of our podcasts or YouTube. So, yeah, thanks very much for joining us. Thanks for being part of a trial, and hopefully this will become part of us now. So, that's it from me, and we're finally done. So, yeah, thanks very much.
Cheers, guys.
Ta-da, everyone.
Bye.
Picture this, you're fully immersed in your podcast because in the back of your mind, you're not trying to recall when that deadline was supposed to be or stressing to keep everyone updated on next steps. Meet Monday.com, a work management platform that makes having peace of mind easy. With Monday.com, all your work lives in one centralized place. You can automate updates to keep team members up to speed and ensure nothing falls through the cracks, even while you're enjoying your favorite podcast. To start your 14-day free trial, go to Monday.com.
This summer, when you're on the go, stay connected to what matters most with access to over 3 million Cox Wi-Fi hotspots. Learn more at cox.com.
Ask Ashley the podcast is sponsored by Cox.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.